Turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look to God's Word this morning. Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6, verses 1 to 3. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, go on to perfection, some say, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. And so Paul, as many believe as the writer, calls them to go past the foundations of Christianity and to go on to maturity, to go on to the deeper things in God. And as I share this morning, if you can humor me, I want to share a long history lesson. I hope you don't feel like you're in class, but to get to this little point, I need to share a big background, so I hope it works. If not, I won't do it again. There's a man named Ferdinand de Lesseps. Okay, anybody heard of him? Ferdinand de Lesseps was the one responsible for building the Suez Canal. He spent 10 years digging and dredging. The Suez Canal opened on November 17th, 1869, and rather than ships trading with India having to go around the bottom of Africa all the way up to India, they could use the Suez Canal. It took 10 years of digging and dredging in the desert for the canal to be built, and de Lesseps was a hero. He went back to France, and everyone who invested in the project made a ton of money. He got them wealthy. They loved him. And so the next project, he was so successful, they said, listen, the next thing we want you to do is to build a canal through Panama. In other words, Suez is great, but now if you could do the same exact thing you did in Egypt, in Panama, and build a canal, all the trade from America and Europe going to Asia, it can save so much money. And so de Lesseps goes to Panama. They end up amassing 40,000 workers to begin work on the Panama Canal. They started January 1st, 1881. And 8 years later, in 1889, they had spent all the money, but only 40% of the Panama Canal had been dug. And, you know, we're used to the Panama Canal, and America did it and all that. But before America and before Theodore Roosevelt, the French attempted to do it with de Lesseps. And he took everything he learned in Egypt, and he took it to Central America. And I think if we stop for a minute, we would realize digging in the sand and in Egypt and battling the rainforests of Central America are extremely different. And so 8 years later, de Lesseps had ran out of money. But here's the amazing thing. 22,000 people had died from malaria and yellow fever, including 5,000 of the French workers, engineers, and their families. Many of the 40,000 workers were natives from the West Indies in that area, but over 5,000 of those who died were from France, engineers, and their families. The number one enemy was malaria, yellow fever, and the dreaded mosquito. Who's been driven in from a little outdoor picnic by those little bugs? Or you've gone to a park and you had wonderful intentions with the family, and the mosquitoes drive you crazy. You know, we're from upstate New York, and we would go to the Adirondacks for vacations in the summer. And up in the Adirondacks, you know, the black flies, the deer flies, the mosquitoes, you'd have to wear netting around your head and neck, and it wasn't always the most comfortable thing. But President Roosevelt, after France had failed, got a vision, and he came to office, Theodore Roosevelt, and, you know, they expected him to really not do much. He was a vice president. President died, and he came into office. It wasn't like he was elected. But one of his visions was, we're going to build this Panama Canal. He spent $40 million purchasing from France, and I'm sorry for the history lesson, but it's to get to somewhere, I promise. He spent $40 million buying all of the equipment and the buildings that France had built, and when they approached Panama was a province of Colombia when de Lesseps was there, when Roosevelt began negotiations, and Colombia said, no, we don't want you to do it. You know, we had enough hassle with France being here. We don't want it. And so Roosevelt instigated a revolution where Panama rebelled or declared their independence from Colombia. There was a very short war. Panama was independent. They had their own constitution, signed an agreement with the U.S. almost immediately afterwards to build the canal. And so Panama became a nation 1903, November 3rd, and work began shortly after under the Americans, under the U.S., to build the Panama Canal. Here's what they said. One of the quotes they found was that disease stalked every person every day. You know, it's interesting. The problems that de Lesseps ran into with the dreaded mosquitoes, the Americans ran into too. And they found themselves in a jungle. And who's ever been around a building project where when you see people digging and excavating, all of a sudden there's standing water. And all of a sudden when it rains, there's nowhere for it to drain. And so the mosquito problem becomes amplified. And so not only are there the rainforests of Central America, but there's all of the construction work and the ponds that are the result of it. And so disease stalked every person there. The causes of yellow fever and malaria had been discovered by a doctor, an English doctor in India. And some of the fruit of his work, and we're going to get to a spiritual point, I promise. Some of the fruit of his work was that a man named William Crawford Gorgas, however you say that, Gorgas, had gone to Cuba, to Havana, and he had sprayed throughout the island for mosquitoes and fumigated and basically eliminated malaria and yellow fever. And so they hired him to go to the Panama Canal Zone and to do the same type thing. And so he goes and he inspects everything. And they went to the U.S. Congress. And in 1904, can you imagine someone saying, we need $1 million to spray for mosquitoes? You know, $1 million today would be a bunch of money. But back then, it was an astronomical amount to deal with this little, I wrote down the size of these little bugs, 2.5 milligrams. I mean, it doesn't even weigh enough to be bothered. But how many know that mosquitoes are, we had them in the Philippines a few weeks ago, and we'd sit at dinner, and it was torture trying to eat with mosquitoes buzzing around your legs and biting you under the table, and everyone knows what I mean. And so Gorgas requests $1 million. It's interesting what they say about that $1 million. He wanted to spray 500 square miles of the jungle, 500 square miles of where they were working to try and solve the problem. History looks back, and they said that the make-or-break moment in building the Panama Canal was not what engineers they hired. It wasn't the revolution in Panama. It was whether we would spend the $1 million to deal with the mosquito problem that had driven out the French and that was threatening to drive out the Americans in the same way. Congress approved the $1 million. They began spraying. But it said this, without that commitment, work would have undoubtedly stalled. You know, as we get into looking at some points, who's ever heard someone say, don't sweat the small things? Has anybody ever heard that phrase? You know, I'm not sure that's so true. It's like sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt. I'm pretty sure that one's not true either. In other words, you know, some of those things that we grew up with, but don't sweat the small things is a bad idea. And so by 1906, I'm almost done with the history part. By 1906, as Gorgeous began to spray, over 85% of the American workers had been hospitalized at some point with sickness and disease. But his efforts began to pay off. By 1906, in August, the number of yellow fever patients was cut in half. And in November of that year, months later, the last victim of yellow fever died in the Panama Canal construction zone. By 1910, malaria was much harder. By 1910, malaria had been controlled to where they could work and they could make progress. The Panama Canal opened, I wrote it down, August 15th, 1914. But you know, it's amazing that the cause of all the trouble was a little mosquito that is so small you can't even see it when you're feeling them biting you. 2.5 milligrams. A Nigerian man said this, whoever has mocked the size of a mosquito has never tried to sleep with even a single mosquito inside a mosquito net. One mosquito. I mean, I can remember laying on the couch, I'm sure we all have stories, and there's one mosquito that is like trying to get my ear or trying to like drive me crazy. And it's like you have to get up and turn the light on, and you have to try and find them because they torture you. With the scope and significance of the Panama Canal, the victory had to be won over the mosquito, the tiny mosquito, for the project to be seen through. Turn to Joshua 7. Joshua 7. Mosquitoes, despite their size, consume and control and have the ability in that day and age to derail a project the size of the Panama Canal. The French spent $204 million and were defeated by mosquitoes. $204 million defeated by mosquitoes. You know, the small things matter. Eve believed one lie from Satan. Eve believed one lie. Abraham told one half-truth. Sarah pushed her husband to sleep with Haggai one time. You know, the small things in our lives matter. And whether it's areas of sin, whether it is attitudes, we want to get to the place where we get victory over the little things so that we can tackle the big things. In other words, and we looked at this a little bit Wednesday, we don't want to spend our whole lives battling mosquitoes. We don't want to spend our whole lives trying to find freedom. If you have announcements, one of the things in your announcements is four parts to the Christian journey. We talked about it Wednesday night, but it's knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, and making a difference. Four steps in the Christian journey. We can get so caught up in finding freedom that we never get past it to where we're discovering God's purpose for our lives and we are making a difference in the world around us. And so we want to deal with the little things in each of our lives, not because that's what God is all about, but it's because he's got so much more. And we get so caught up in the mosquitoes that we never get to the dredging and the digging and the deeper things. I had a vision in the Philippines, and I had forgotten about it till this morning. We were praying over someone, and I saw a harbor that there was a huge ship waiting to get in, but the harbor wasn't deep enough anymore. And so they brought in dredging equipment, and they began to dig out the harbor, to dredge the silt, just like they do at times in the rivers around here and in some of the harbors. They dredge it so the bigger ships can go into port. You know, the book that we read about, the Ephesian letter to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a harbor town. It was a harbor town that the area around the harbor became so silted in that it stopped being navigable. And ships could no longer go into Ephesus. And it went from being a thriving town to a near ghost community because the harbor silted in. It had to be dredged out. Sometimes we have to dredge out the little things so God can do the deeper work. Joshua 7 tells a story about the children of Israel. They had just won the battle at Jericho. They had defeated probably the biggest stronghold that they were going to face in terms of going forward. And they came to the next city, which was called Ai. And it says that, verse 3, when they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. And don't weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So only 3,000 men went up, and they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Can you imagine winning a victory over the greatest enemy you could face? You know, defeating Jericho, and then you face some small enemy, and they put you to flight. They win the battle. You lose a battle you're not supposed to lose. And so they discover the cause of it, and God speaks starting in verse 10, just a few more verses. But God speaks, and he says, "Listen, Joshua." Joshua was, he was weeping. He was on his knees. And the Lord says to him, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel have sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They've taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen. They've lied. They've put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites can't stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they've been made liable to destruction." And what had happened? A man named Achan had gone into Jericho, and God had said, "Listen, this is our first victory." Have you ever gone in a restaurant and you've seen like a framed $5 bill? Who's ever, has anybody ever seen one of those? In other words, they're like, they're the mementos of "we made it." This was, we opened this restaurant. We didn't think we'd have a chance. Here's the first bill we collected. God said, "Listen, Jericho's so special. I want you to devote everything to me, and then the other victories you can take of the spoil." And so God said, "Don't touch anything in Jericho personally." And Achan couldn't handle it. And he took some gold, he took some silver, took some Babylonian garments. He hid them in his tent. He buried them under stuff. And God got so upset that because of one person out of 2 million, one person out of 2 million, they lost the battle of Ai. You know, it seems like such a small number, but The little things matter. And I hope we can see that just like the little things in the Panama Canal, the little things in our lives make a difference. You know, the attitudes, any unforgiveness, any jealousies or envy or competition with another person. You know, those things can derail us and keep us from the big things that God has for our lives and for our families. As I said before, Eve listened to one lie from Satan. One lie. And look at the effect of all mankind. Abraham told one half-truth about Sarah being his sister. And the effects were almost devastating. Jacob deceived his father one time. We think one time, that's not so bad. You know, I think I did more than that in the time. David had made one terrible mistake. Paul and Barnabas, go to Acts 15 for a second. Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas were being used by God to turn the world upside down. Literally, the words that we read, God was using them everywhere they went to bring revival, to share the gospel, to see people's lives changed. And so at the end of chapter 15, they're getting ready to start another missionary journey. And it starts in verse 36. So just read a couple verses. But it says, sometimes later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back. Let's visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. And Barnabas wanted to take John, who also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. And they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Paul went one way with Silas. Barnabas went another way with John Mark. And what would we could only say was a dynamic ministry team. Two powerful brothers in Christ. One disagreement. Went their separate way. Never to be reconciled that we know. Barnabas, we know very little about his life after this. But one disagreement. The rich young ruler, one choice. Ananias and Sapphira, one time holding back a part of the money. You know, the little things do matter in God. The little things that we say. We can sow things with our words. Our mosquitoes can be a sin problem. Can be the one thing. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, just verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. And then the second part. And the sin that's so easily entangled. Do you know where it says the sin? One of the thoughts is that there is something in each of our lives that we battle. King James says the sin that so easily besets us. But there's a sin so often that each one of us, it's the one thing we have to get the victory over. You know, for someone it can be unforgiveness. With someone it can be a bad attitude towards another, a competitive spirit, jealousy. For somebody else it can be laziness. Somebody else can be a Debbie Downer, as they say, that everything we say is just negative and pulls people down. We can have compromise issues. We can have priority problems. We can have one thing after another that causes us to struggle. But what does he say? Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that besets us, so we can run the race. You know, we get caught up in the things that hinder. We get caught up in the sin that entangles. And too many Christians are not getting to the race. Too many Christians are not getting to the race that God has called each one of us to run. The things that he wants us to accomplish, discovering our purpose, making a difference in the world around us, the mosquitoes are winning. And in too many lives, the little things, and I'm not calling sin little, but there's something bigger that God has. There's a bigger picture. Hebrews 12, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and run the race God has called us to run. God has a race for each one of us. God has a deeper purpose for each one of us. And we have got to get beyond finding freedom. We've got to get beyond this cycle of falling short, getting free of it, getting entangled again in the same cycle. God's got something bigger. De Lesseps, when the French were trying to build the Panama Canal, 8 years, never got past mosquitoes. Never found a solution to it. And it wasn't until Gorgas came in, quite honestly, that the Americans had any chance. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 14, Luke 8 and verse 14, Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower, and he's explaining it. And as he gets to the ground that where the seed fell among thorns, he said, the seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, by riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. Mark 4 says they're choked by the desire for other things, verses 18 and 19. Uncontrolled desires, the ability to say no to ourselves. And so what happens is rather than bearing fruit, rather than getting to the big picture, we end up getting caught up in the little things. And I hope calling them mosquitoes does it justice. But it's the problems that keep us from what God wants to build through our lives. You know, the Panama Canal, and reading it, was an amazing thing. The largest ships at that time, it was a period when things were changing so rapidly. You know, it was like 1 year the largest ship was 480 feet. The next year it was 530. The next year it was 630. And so they're building this canal in the midst of rapidly changing circumstances in the world around them. And they settled on building one for 1,000 feet long. In other words, the longest ship could be 975 feet long. And at the time, the largest was in the 500s. I didn't write the numbers down. And then they took a width that was far wider than anything at the time. Do you know, it only took a few years after they opened where ships began to catch up, and the Panama Canal became the guideline for how big they built every ship. And in our recent years, they have been expanding it. And there's been a huge project to make the Panama Canal feasible for much larger ships. But God has so much more for our lives. And I'm convinced there's a power he wants to release. There's the power of the Holy Spirit where all of a sudden God begins to use his people to touch lives like never before. But Mark 16 and verse 15, the big picture, go into all the world, your world, and preach the good news. Matthew 28, make disciples of all people. And so God has called us to move on to deeper things. Every message can't be about putting God first in our lives. Can we say amen to that? You know, I remember at school, and the high school kids used to absolutely hate that every youth pastor who came in from different churches spoke the same message. And they used to hate, they'd get out of chapel and they would just like, if I hear that message one more time, I'm going to throw up. You know, they would have some grandiose comment. But every youth pastor who came in and they didn't know each other had the same message because it was the message needed. And they brought the same word. We've got to get past messages about putting God first, about forgiveness and having an eye on eternity and freedom from attitudes and activities that quench the spirit. We've got to move on personally, not as a church, but as Christian believers. Joshua dealt with Achan. He took the problem and he swiftly dealt with it. Achan was dealt with. His sin was taken care of. And they moved on to take the land. We have to apply the truths that God speaks to our lives, whether it's about forgiveness, whether it's about having compassion, loving others, every truth, commitment, apply it and move on. We have got to deal with the mosquito problem. De Lesseps was a brilliant man. He was a brilliant man. When they built the Suez Canal, it was unlike anything that was seen. It revolutionized travel in the world. The trip around the bottom of South Africa was treacherous. So many ships were lost because of the winds and the weather conditions. The opening of the Suez Canal was unbelievably important. De Lesseps was brilliant, but he didn't handle the mosquitoes. You know, and we can be wonderful people. Great to talk to, wonderful to be around, great personalities, but we've got to deal with those things in our lives, whereas Hebrews 12 said, if we could look at that one more time, throw off everything that hinders. You know, if there's an attitude, let's deal with it and move on. Let's not have to deal with it next Sunday too. Let's not have to deal with it a month from now about, okay, let's put God first in our lives. God wants us to go into the gifts of the Spirit, moving with the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. In Mark 10, verses 46 to 52 is the story of Bartimaeus. I'll be merciful, daylight savings time. I've only got a few more scriptures. Mark 10, verses 46 to 52 is the story of a blind man named Bartimaeus, and he was crying out to the Lord for God to notice him and have mercy on him. And as he cried out in verse 47, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It says that people rebuked him and they told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And there's a little phrase, throwing his cloak aside. It's not in the Gospel of Luke. It's not found anywhere else that Bartimaeus had to throw off this cloak that was covering him so that he could run to Jesus. And I wrote down in my notes, there are things that we have to throw off sometimes. It can be attitudes. It can be priorities. It can be ways of doing things, how we deal with problems, how we handle responsibility. But just as he had to throw his cloak aside and go to Jesus, there are things we've got to get rid of, and I compare them to mosquitoes or cloaks, however it's easiest for us to reconcile it, things that entangle us, that keep us down, keep us from all God has, and then we want to go after equipping ourselves with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, praying for God to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire, going beyond finding freedom from complacency in our Christian lives and casual living to building the kingdom of God, to making a difference in people's lives through purposeful living and testifying about his goodness, last scripture in Psalm 40. Last scripture. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. David's writing about an experience when he was going through the worst of times. And he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. God did a work in setting him free. But what was the response of David? In verse 3, he's put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. I'm singing about what God has done for me. I found freedom. Now I'm using it for a purpose. I'm praising God. And then the next part, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord because of what God has done in my life. See, when you look at those points, knowing God and finding freedom, we're to get through those as quickly as possible, to go on to discovering our purpose, to praying that God will speak, and then making a difference in the world around us. In verse 10 of the same psalm, verse 10, I don't hide your righteousness in my heart, Lord. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I don't conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. We share what God has done for us and we allow him to use it for a purpose. Panama Canal opened, as I said, on August 15th, 1914. They finished it in record time as they dealt with the little things. And they could give all of their energy to building a series of locks, to building bigger than anybody could have imagined. They prepared for the future. They were purposeful, but they got past the little stuff. You know, what do you and I have to get past? I know what I have to get past. You know, I made my own list, and it's like, okay, Lord, help me to quickly just deal with these things so I can go on to concentrating about the bigger things you want, whether it's for me, for my family, for our church. But there's things I think each of us probably has to get past to get on to the bigger picture of what God wants to do. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we can learn from the experiences of others. We thank you, Lord, that you can use both nature and you can use history to teach us lessons that we need to learn. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, even as we read about the building of the Panama Canal and some of the things that happened, I pray that it will just be a reminder to each one of us that there are little things in each of our lives that if they go unchecked, they can derail us and they can move us off course. And I pray, oh God, that we will have the grace to deal with any attitudes that are in our lives that are not right. Lord God, that we'll be honest, we'll handle them, and we'll move on. Father, we'll deal with any areas of sin or compromise that might be in our lives that need to go, that we can complete and work and do the things you have called us to do, the bigger things, Lord. And so whether it's an attitude, whether it's areas of sin and compromise, whatever it might be, O God, we pray that you will give the grace for each one of us, O God, to change, to seek you for the areas that we need to break through in, O God, to get beyond finding freedom to the big picture. Lord, raise up a group of people that know what you're calling them to do, and that begin to go out and with a new boldness and courage, empowered by the Holy Spirit, begin to make a difference. I pray even in our midst, O God, that you will move us past having to set right priorities, that you will move us past having to get to that place of loving you with all our heart. Move us past, oh God, compromise, casual living, to where we can run after you, oh God, to lay aside everything, to lay aside the cloaks like Bartimaeus, oh God, and run the race you've called us to. And I just pray we will all be honest enough to see where there are mosquitoes, where we have to deal with things, that we can go on to the greater things you have in our lives. We thank you for today, Lord. We pray that it will make a the things you've spoken will make a difference in each of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 Lord bless.